A reading from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, let women be subject to their husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so also let the wives be subject to their husbands in all things. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and delivered himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, cleansing it by the laver of water in the word of life, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So also ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it, as also Christ doth the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be two in one flesh. This is a great sacrament, but I speak in the Christ and in the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love his wife as himself, and let the wife fear her husband. Please stand now for the reading of the Holy Gospel, which is from the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. At that time the Pharisees came to Jesus, tempting him and saying, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" Who answering said to them, "Have you not read that he who made man from the beginning made them male and female? And he said, 'For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be in one flesh. Therefore, now they are not two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder.'" As far as the words of the Holy Gospel, please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. A big welcome to Joseph and Carolyn this morning, and all of you, and to celebrate a very elaborate wedding of marriage, the giving of the Holy Sacrament of Matrimony. And today we, it's a cause for great happiness, cause for great rejoicing, because the sacraments are for the good of the whole church. And the sacrament of marriage is one of the two sacraments which is not just for those who receive it. The other one is the priesthood. Those two sacraments, matrimony and the priesthood, are sacraments which are received not just for oneself, but for the good of everybody. So as the priest has to offer the Holy Mass, hear confessions, give the sacraments, teach the Catholic religion, so the married man and the married woman have duties towards others. They have a duty, first of all, after to each other. They have duties towards one another. But the duties that they have towards others, first of all, that they must have the children that God sends. Hopefully all of you know the Catholic Church's official stand on birth control. that it is sinful. Because by using birth control, would-be moms and dads defraud God of his right to those children that he should expect from those who receive his holy sacrament of matrimony. They pull back from God what he expected of them, and they say to God, "I will not serve," as the devil said when he would not obey God. But those couples who, through the natural use of marriage, receive those babies which God sends naturally, they are giving God what he expects from them. And therefore, they are worthy of great reward. So these first duties of the married couple towards others, between themselves first and then towards children. Next, they have duties towards all of society. Most marriages these days end up being broken up, divorce. Why do so many marriages end up in divorce? Well, there are many causes, but they're not supposed to end up in divorce. That's not what's supposed to happen. And in the sacrament of holy matrimony, it is God who joins the two together. Matrimony is not just any agreement between a man and a woman. It is the agreement which God laid down for men and women to use. And one part of that agreement is that they are married to each other until one of them dies. So the indissolubility, then, of the marriage bond, it's not dissolvable except by death. And so these days, people ignoring the authority of God, usurping God's rights, leave their spouse. This is one of the great causes of moral degradation in society today. It's the absence of religion, the absence of God, God's influence, his control and our obedience, which makes things happen the right way. And things are put in order when God is respected by human creatures. Now, so they have duties towards one another, towards their children also, and towards all of society to stay together, a married couple, until death, so that there is stability in human society. Stability which we depend on. So we have then also the great examples of marriage in the olden days, in the times of nobility, before democracy became in vogue. We had kings and princes and princesses, nobles all over the country, and a hierarchical government from the king on down to the lowest of the peasants. The nobility stood for marriage and family. The nobility oftentimes would marry their children to nobles from another country, especially a neighboring or a rival country, in order to make peace with that country. They would give their children in marriage to the nobles of the neighboring country. And then, because the nobility was passed down by heredity, The family was very important. Now, this is only natural reasons. If we look back and see how did God treat the family in the Old Testament, first of all, he promised a Savior after Adam had sinned. And he said that that Savior would come from a child of Adam, one of his children, or great to the 10th power children, or something, grandchildren, would be the Savior who would save us from our sins. And then we go on down generations past Adam to Abraham, and then Noah, and to the family of King David, and so on. Finally, to Jacob. It was Abraham, then his son Isaac, and then his son Jacob. Jacob was to be the father of the family which would bring forth the Savior. And finally, out of the 12 sons of Jacob, which make up the tribe of the Jews, there was one tribe, the tribe of Judah, was chosen. And so that tribe was a family in which would be born the Savior. And the family was very, very important. And it still is. But people do not understand that these days. People do not want to think the family is so important. Your family members are meant to be your closest and dearest friends. And today, what do we have? Jealousy, hatred, competition that doesn't really belong. That is the devil's poison in the family. And the Catholic has to remove that by humility and by selfless love towards the rest of the members in the family. And by bearing the things patiently to give an example to the other members, to be patient with them. Then, finally, the Savior was born from the Virgin Mary. The Holy Virgin Mary. She was bound to Saint Joseph in holy matrimony, but the baby was not from natural means, but from the Holy Ghost. And Mary, by special privilege, remained ever a virgin, even though she had the child Jesus, and she had no other children. And so we see examples in the Old Testament, and now even the parents of the baby Jesus, Mary and Joseph, an example of marital sacrifice and fidelity. So we will look now at today's wedding. Joseph and Carolyn will be married in just a few moments. It won't be long now at all. The very beginning of the ceremony is they exchange the marriage vows with each other. And that's the wedding. The rest of it is ceremonies and the Holy Mass. But the wedding only takes 2 minutes. And that bond will be made between them, in which they will be joined by this holy sacrament to one another, and they bind themselves by agreeing to the marriage, and they will express their consent to this very sacrament which they are receiving. And then from now on, they will take upon themselves the duties of husband and wife, and the privileges of husband and wife. And they will be there to bear trials from each other, from outside. They will have to have patience and virtue. The sacrament provides God's graces for those things. They will have to be unselfish. They will give up certain things that they have now as single man or single woman. They will give them up. They will sacrifice their own freedom. One kind of freedom they sacrifice in order to have another freedom that they do not have yet, but they will very soon. They do not have the freedom to be husband and wife and to have children of their own. They don't have that right. But in a minute they will. And then they will face the trials that come to all married couples. And they will do the good things which all married couples are supposed to do. They will enjoy the state of matrimony. And it is a blessed state indeed. But nonetheless, a state of great sacrifice. So we, first of all, before I forget to say it, at the Mass today, the wedding Mass, communion will be given. But in order to remind you that may not be familiar with the rules, you don't receive communion unless you're qualified. So that means you're a good Roman Catholic with in good standing with the Church. No mortal sin on your conscience. And having fasted at least 1 hour before communion is given. Those things. Those that are in a bad marriage or not fasting or not going to the Mass on Sunday and so on, those of you will abstain from communion because you have to prepare yourself before you can receive communion by changing those things for the better. So, therefore, just to remind you, only those who are in good standing with the Roman Catholic Church, baptized Catholic and practicing the Catholic religion, no mortal sin on your conscience and not in a bad marriage and fasting for 1 hour or more. The ceremony then of marriage reminds us of the union between Jesus and His Church. How was Jesus united to His Church? The answer is by His death on the cross. He was nailed on to a cross. You might say it's a representation of the marriage bond. And however they will be to each other, their cross. And the nails will be their wedding vows. And then they will be bound in a certain life of self-sacrifice in order to bring about a greater thing which could not exist had they not married in each other, and that's a legitimate family. And so we congratulate them, and we are also obliged to pray for the couple. Ask a blessing from God on them each time you think of it, because they will need blessings. They will need grace. And you can help them by your prayers and by encouragement. You encourage them with good words. And celebrate with them, by the way, or it's a great day for both of them. And so I continue then by reading the canonical admonition before marriage, and then we go proceed directly to the vows. Dear friends in Christ, as you know, you are about to enter into a union which is most sacred and most serious, a union which was established by God Himself. By it, He gave to a man a share in the greatest work of creation, the work of the continuation of the human race. And in this way, He sanctified human love and enabled man and woman to help each other live as children of God by sharing a common life under His fatherly care. Because God Himself is thus its author, marriage is of its very nature a holy institution, requiring of those who enter into it a complete and unreserved giving of self. But Christ our Lord added to the holiness of marriage an even deeper meaning and a higher beauty. He referred to the love of marriage to describe His own love for His Church, that is, for the people of God whom He redeemed by His own blood. And so He gave to Christians a new vision of what married life ought to be. a life of self-sacrificing love like to his own. It is for this reason that his apostle, St. Paul, clearly states that marriage is now and for all time to be considered a great mystery, intimately bound up with the supernatural union of Christ and the Church, which union is to be its pattern. This union, then, is most serious because it will bind you together for life in a relationship so close and so intimate that it will profoundly influence your whole future. That future with its hopes and disappointments, its successes and its failures, is hidden from your eyes. You know that these elements are mingled in every life and are to be expected in your own. And so, not knowing what is before you, you take each other for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death. Truly then, these words are most serious. It is a beautiful tribute to your undoubted faith in each other, that recognizing their full import, you are nevertheless so willing and ready to pronounce them. And because these words involve such solemn obligations, it is most fitting that you rest the security of your wedded life upon the great principle of self-sacrifice. And so you begin your married life by the voluntary and complete surrender of your own individual lives in the interest of that deeper and wider life which you are to have in common. Henceforth, you belong entirely to each other. You will be one in mind, one in heart, and one in affections. And whatever sacrifices you may hereafter be required to make to preserve this common life, always make them generously. Sacrifice is usually difficult and irksome. Only love can make it easy, and perfect love can make it a joy. We are willing to give in proportion as we love, and when love is perfect, the sacrifice is complete. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and the Son so loved us that he gave himself for our salvation. Greater love than this no one has, that one lay down his life for his friends. No greater blessing can come on your married life than pure conjugal love, loyal and true to the end. May then this love with which you join your hands and hearts today never fail, but grow deeper and stronger as the years go on. And if true love and the unselfish spirit of perfect sacrifice guide your every action, you can expect the greatest measure of earthly happiness that may be allotted to man in this vale of tears. The rest is in the hands of God. Nor will God be wanting to your needs. He will pledge you the lifelong support of his graces in the Holy Sacrament which you are now going to receive.